Our scripture passage for this morning comes from Isaiah chapter 5. Listen now for God's holy word. Let me sing of my beloved, my love song concerning his vineyard. My beloved had a vineyard on a very fertile hill. He dug it and cleared it of stones and planted it with choice vines. He built a watchtower in the midst of it and hewed out a wine vat in it. He expected it to yield grapes, but it yielded wild grapes. And now, inhabitants of Jerusalem and Judea, judge between me and my vineyard. What more was there for me to do for my vineyard that I have not done in it? When I expected it to yield grapes, why did it yield wild grapes? And now I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will remove its protective hedge, and it shall be devoured. I will break down its wall, and it shall be trampled down. I will make it a waste. It shall not be pruned or hoed. It shall be overgrown with briars and thorns. And I will also command the clouds that no rain will fall on it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the people of God are his pleasant planting. He expected justice, but saw bloodshed. He expected righteousness, but heard a cry. Ah, you who join house to house and who add field to field until there is room for no one but you. You who are left to live alone in the midst of the land, the Lord of hosts has sworn in my hearing, saying, surely many houses shall be desolate, large and beautiful homes without inhabitant. Ah, you who rise early in the morning in pursuit of strong drink, who linger in the evening to be inflamed by wine. Ah, you who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Ah, you who are wise in your own eyes and shrewd in your own sight. Ah, you who are heroes in drinking wine and valiant at mixing drink, who acquit the guilty for a bribe and deprive the innocent of their rights. Therefore, as the tongue of fire devours the stubble, and as grass sinks down in the flame, so their root will become rotten, and their blossom will go up like dust. For they have rejected the instructions of the Lord of hosts, and they have despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. People of God, the grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our God remains and abides forever. Thanks be to God, and let all God's people say, the vineyard has not produced good fruit. In our passage for this morning, the voices of the prophet and the voice of God combine to tell of God's frustration and anger and disappointment with God's project. The frustration and the anger are expressed in the guise of a song. It is a parable about a vineyard. Rather than producing good grapes for wine, it instead has produced wild grapes. The vineyard owner does all that he can for his vineyard. He chooses a good location, a fertile hill. He clears the soil of stones. He plants choice vines. He builds a watchtower and a hedge to protect his farmland, and he waits to see what fruits will grow. But instead of getting good fruit, he reaps only wild grapes. The meaning of this song-like parable is clearly explained by the prophet. God gave God's people everything that they should have needed to live the good life that God had desired and intended for them. But instead of producing the goods of justice and righteousness in their society, instead they have produced bloodshed, cries, and wickedness. God gave Israel the promised land so that everyone would have what they needed. The book of Numbers is clear that God carefully apportioned the land, carefully describing where each family could live and make their living. And God gave the people God's law, God's clear instructions for how to care for one another and to respect one another and how to share with one another and to give to those who fall into hard times. God's law intended that there would be justice. Justice in the Old Testament context meant making sure that everyone's needs in society was met. taking God's provisions, God's gifts, and using them according to God's good intentions for all of God's people. That is the justice that God had hoped for and desired, that everyone would be cared for and respected. This righteousness, this justice, this right way of living, this right way of keeping society structured and organized had not been observed. Rather than seeking goodness and the benefit of all, some began to seek wealth and comfort simply for themselves, in a way that hurt others, did harm to others, and in ways that showed an open disregard for the well-being of all of God's people. The prophet in our passage specifically calls out the wealthy and the powerful who bought up lands and homes. They expanded beyond what God had apportioned for them. They transgressed, they crossed the boundaries that God had set, the good and modest limits that God had created. They bought up more lands and more lands and more farms and more farms and more homes, displacing people, taking away others' abilities to produce a livelihood and to produce the good life that God had intended. In Isaiah's day, as the rich got richer, as their lands increased, as they built bigger and more comfortable homes, they didn't seek righteousness or goodness. For doing so would have motivated them to undo what they had already done. Seeking God's righteousness and God's justice would have motivated them to dispense of all of this great wealth they had amassed in order to benefit those they had displaced. Instead, the wealthy of Isaiah's day spent their time and resources pursuing parties. They woke not needing to do an honest day's work to make a living, but they woke simply, as the prophet says, to pursue strong drink and music and carousing, partying lifestyles. And what is more, they sustained their riches by lying to themselves and others. They lied to themselves. They told themselves and others that what they were doing in accumulating their great wealth for themselves, they told themselves that it was good. And so the prophet and God, they say, "Woe to you who call evil good and good evil." According to the prophet, God would not abide these bad grapes any longer. The prophet, speaking for God, describes a coming destruction of this unruly vineyard. God had hoped for a good harvest, but only wild grapes had grown, and so the plan is to pull down the hedge, to take down the wall that had protected the vineyard, and to let destruction fall. The plan was to allow these infected vines to be pulled up and thrown on the ash heap for destruction. People of God, as I read and studied this passage this week, I did hear good news in these hard words from God and from the prophet Isaiah. God spoke to me through these words, and God speaks to me through these words, reminding me of a simple and yet an important and powerful message. It is the message that God cares. God cares. When it comes to the justice of this world, when it comes to how we live and how the poor and the lowly are treated in our societies, when it comes to the ways that the few treat the many, the prophet's words remind us that God cares. God is not indifferent. God does not sit idly by in heaven watching as injustice unfolds here on earth and simply abides the wickedness. God sees injustice. God sees the unrighteousness. God hears the cries of the poor. God sees the violence and the bloodshed in our societies, and all of it makes God furious. It makes God ready to tear down the walls and to pull up the infected plantings and to start over again. The reality of this divine anger, it should make us glad. For we too feel this anger and this frustration over the sinfulness and the wickedness which we see in our societies. We see the wickedness. We see the ways that human beings are not living as God had intended. We see the ways that we mistreat one another, bully one another, abuse and misuse one another. We see the heartless actions and the decisions that are made in our world that do so much harm. We see the ways that the few abuse the many. And we too, along with God, feel that furious anger rising in our hearts. We see imbalance in our societies, how the rich are rich while the poor struggle, how the strong pursue parties and carousing and comfortable lifestyles while the weak and vulnerable are left to suffer. We learn about how drug companies promoted and do promote addictive drugs, caring more about making profits than about the ways that their drugs will affect people's lives and rip apart communities. We see how the leaders of our world judge success based on a stock market rather than on how an economy affords job opportunities for the many. We hear about how children are ripped from their families and put in inhumane prisons, and how children in places like Flint and Newark can't even drink the water in their schools or in their homes. When lobbyists protecting those who are made rich from the sales of weapons, bribe and manipulate elected officials, and prevent the kind of reasonable gun legislation that would protect the vulnerable and make society safer. When justice is not done, when injustice goes unaddressed, and when society is broken, when there should be righteousness, and instead there are cries, when there should be justice, and instead there is bloodshed, we see this, and we are made angry, and sad, and frustrated. Our passage from the book of Isaiah reminds us that the beginnings of the good news, the beginnings of the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, is that God sees it and he hears it. He is aware of what is happening in this world, and God is not indifferent. God cares. God is furious with the unrighteousness and the injustices. God too sees it. God sees the bloodshed. God hears the cries, and God is not left unmoved. God is not indifferent. God is not still. This is good news. It is good news to hear and to know that God cares. God cares what kind of fruit we produce. God cares about the fruit we produce in our world, in our societies, in our communities, among our families and friends. God cares. God cares about what kind of harvest this world brings. God planted this world in which we live. God planted the vineyard, and God cares to see a good harvest. By God's grace, may we be spared the destruction predicted by the prophet. By God's grace, may God give us another season and another year. By God's grace, may God continue to water and to dig up and to fertilize our roots. And by God's grace, may we produce good fruit. Amen.